It's time to travel to the next room with Jane Asher, an exploration of the bigger picture surrounding life on Earth and what follows. Now, here's your host, Jane Asher, on Empower Radio.
It is always a good day when I can step out into the studio. Today I've got my puppy, of course, down at my feet. We took a nice long walk, and she knows that she has to behave so she can stay in the studio with me, or she gets banished to the house. Ugh. And she loves being here. I mean, it's like her space. She loves being under the board.
Awesome.
Yeah. So my guest today, boy, I just love this when social media can be used in such a positive, light, and wonderful manner. I discovered her through a near-death experience page on Facebook. And she has another book out. She actually has three books. And this one really caught my eye because it's called We Touched Heaven. It's an international collection of experiences that, have reached beyond the veil, so to speak. And she went ahead and pulled together 47 other people, other individuals that have had these experiences. And actually, I've had one person, I had P.H. Atwater on my show last year. So I'm just so happy she would agree to join me. Her name is Claudia Edge. She has Gifts from the Edge and Gifts from the Edge Volume 2. I will put links to all of the books in the show page so that you can click on them and purchase them and find out more about this fascinating woman. Without further ado, welcome to the next room, Claudia.
Awesome. Hello, Jane. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so, so happy you agreed to come on the show. Now, Claudia, just tell me a little bit about, like, in 1984, you went through an experience. You had an NDE, which brought you to your line of work now and the fact that you are really part of this community. Tell me what happened.
Let me give you just a little bit more background. I think I came into this world, just loving everything mystical. And I did study what was out there as far as near-death experiences and whatnot in the late 60s. And my father passed in 1969. I was 16, and I was absolutely devastated. And so I really got into following Dr. Raymond Moody and, just a number of books out there, whatever I could find on reincarnation or life after life. It was all of interest to me. And then in 1984, I was giving birth and I bled out. It was a really very, very fast I got to the hospital, and within minutes, I was on the floor, and blood was just gushing out. I was in surgery within moments of that, right in the examination room. There wasn't time. The blood was coming so fast, there wasn't time to set up operation or anything. I basically was held down with a scalpel while they tried to save my baby, who was in major distress. In fact, she had drowned in my uterus in all of the blood that was involved. But they were able to bring her back. And I wanted to mention that because a lot of times I get into the story and I forget to say she's alive and well and beautiful and perfect and everything. But that wasn't to be at the time. And they started to move organs and things around to get to the baby, I was laying still and just trying to, go with the flow and save my baby and grit my teeth and bear the pain. But there came a point where the pain was so horrendous. I looked over at the nurse and she had an armful of this gray rope, and I realized it was my intestines.
Oh my goodness.
And, that kind of pain, I was on the table just trying to, leave my body, faint. I told myself, faint, do something, swoon. And eventually I was able to leave my body. It was a relief, actually. And I popped out of my body, and the scene was absolutely gruesome. So much blood everywhere that I just began floating throughout the hospital. And what I ended up with after leaving the hospital, when the ceiling just kind of lifted off, what I found was myself in a place of the most beautiful but complete black. I've heard the word void. It was not void of anything. It was perfect. It was loving. It was beautiful. It was someplace I could have stayed for eternity and been happy in that darkness. Hmm. I felt cuddled and swaddled there. And so the experience was amazing. And when I got back into my body after, and that was all that I remember seeing, or actually not seeing. I couldn't see my hand in front of my face, so to speak. And so I was in a teaching hospital, and I was kind of famous. I was because they would call me Pioneer Woman, because they had to hold me down to deliver my baby, arms, legs, everything just held down without any kind of anesthesia, any wow. not even an aspirin, not oxygen, not anything. It was in the raw, and so I would have visitors. In and out of my pharmaceutical consciousness, you know, it was like they'd come in and, you know, ask me about it and what I remembered. And because it was a teaching hospital, I was actually asked, when you were dead, you know, what did you see or feel or hear, you know? And as they posed this question to me, it really, you know, it was confusing and traumatic anyway. But as I tried to form those words and I live in a community of you know, where it's the church, you know, and this is how I grew up, that how could I say when I died, I went to darkness?
Right.
You know, someone's going to, you know, equal hell, you know, horrible experience or whatnot. You know, you're bad and you didn't see the light, you didn't see God or Jesus or anything. So, you know, you're a bad person. And I started to pull that experience way deep within myself and go, you know what, I'm just not going to talk about it, because my own expectations, because I had been reading near-death experiences. Mm-hmm. And it's like, why didn't I go to a garden or, you know, see beautiful flowers or talk to Jesus or something? Why was I held in the dark? And I had not read any other NDE accountings of being in the dark. And so it only fed into me my differences with everyone else anyway. I just couldn't climb on a religious platform, and, you know, it's like, where do I fit in, and what, you know, what is wrong with me, and why didn't I see my dad? I love my dad. I, you know, just adored him, and to be without him now for 15 years, mm-hmm. you know, it was like, why didn't I see my dad? Mm-hmm. And so it really affected me, and I just pushed the entire experience away. And it wasn't until about 10 years ago that the date of my father's passing, which was, you know, for our whole family, it was kind of like on the calendar, and I started mourning 2 or 3 days before that date, and August 6th was just a date that I could hardly communicate with anyone. I was just in tears all day. This is the day my dad died, and, you know, I would get phone calls. We're thinking of you. We know you're crying. We know you're having this horrible experience of grief, I couldn't understand why I had never had a dream of my father.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I thought I would press upon your audience today, and remind myself and, you know, anyone out there that's really grieving for a loved one that has passed, you know, it's, I mean, yes, we grieve them. Our chances with to go to dinner and share in the physical hugs or handholding or receiving that phone call are gone. And that's plenty to grieve right there. But to continue in grief, and I picked up a book. I was camping, and I ran into this used bookstore, before we got to our destination, and I grabbed a book that was called My Life After Life. And it's actually a posthumous memoir written by a kid, basically, named Galen Stoller. And I wanted to mention it because it really hit home for me, because what this book is actually put together by his father, Paul Stoller, and it was written after Galen had passed. And, you know, what a miracle, as this father is able to hear his son from the other side. And he's now journaling and taking, you know, these great notes of what heaven is like and everything. He can hear him, not in an audible way, but as you know, Jane, you know, we kind of hear that. It's inside the head.
Yes.
We can hear it, but it's not where the person sitting next to you, but it's not our thoughts. You can tell it's not our thoughts. In fact, most of the things that I get are, I'm left with evidentiary proof, you know, a word or a term or something that I have to go look up afterwards. It is right. Something I can't make up.
Right.
And so in his book, he was talking about, well, how come, you know, his mother can't hear from him? How come just the dad? And she was kind of angry about that. And Galen told his father, he says, I've tried. I've continued to try, but there's no response because her grief is so heavy and thick. I can't get through it.
Mm.
And he says, you know, it still gives me goose pimples to this day, because he said, I come to you now because you're listening, and you kind of expect it, and and it became easier and easier for the two of them to communicate, while it felt like the mother was getting pushed further out there because he was trying less and less, because to no avail could he reach the mother through her grief. Well, I stopped short in my tracks and went, hey, you know, I've got to stop watching the calendar and doing this grieving thing over my dad, and hopefully I might get a dream or something from him. And I did. I actually, months later, started having dreams about him. It was like I was allowing him in to my consciousness and into my life, that he had, you know, been there, but he just couldn't get through.
Wow.
You know, the veil that I had put up,
sure,
you know, of tears. And so that is one thing that I wanted to, you know, a message out there. It's like, I get it. I get the grief, you know, you've lost a child, or, you know, it's just, it changes your entire world.
Right.
And, but if you can, you know, celebrate their life instead of their death, that if you're not having those dreams, ask them, and then try not to be in such a grief state.
Mm. Well, I don't think there's any right or wrong way to die. So, you know, you sharing your experience, it's fascinating. And, you know, you were bridging two realms, and just because it wasn't a tunnel with light with all of your loved ones and, you know, rainbows and unicorns, doesn't mean that it was wrong. It was just, your experience was, like you said, it was very loving and filled with compassion. It was just dark.
Yeah. Well, and as you read more and more of these accountings, there's similarities. Most have a tunnel or the light or whatnot, but they're, you know, questions in some of those groups where it's, well, how come they're alike, but they're not? And it's just like,
well, we're all unique.
We're all unique.
Right.
The exact word I was looking for was, we are unique, and we're given what will help us, not necessarily what we want. And in fact, that was a lesson that I had received in meeting Eben Alexander at an IONS meeting, you know, the International Studies of Near Death. and before his book came out, and he was, his story was evolving, as most of our stories do. You know, we have our incident, we have our trauma, our death, whatever it is, and then we, as we kind of calm down and from it over the years, we'll continue to get dreams or little lessons or memories of it, because it's so huge. Our consciousness just can't hold all of it at once, you know, and right. So we still get pieces. And something that he said really struck me was the fact that if he could have, and I speak of him, I'm not going to give his near-death experience. That's something, it's beautiful, and your audience should look into it and see one of his talks or read his books.
Yeah,
But the fact that he was really disappointed that he did not see his father when he had his experience. Wow. I mean, it was like I dropped my fork. I was sitting kitty corner from him at a large gathering for lunch. And it was like that just spoke volumes to me, because that's how I would have set up my own NDE.
Right.
And he said, you know, if I could have set up my own experience, I definitely would have seen my father, but he had an entirely different experience. And that opened a door for me as well, to let go of what I think I should have or what I should have seen. And just, you know, it's like, this is what happened. Now, if you want more, you know, ask for it.
Right.
And it's been coming in dreams and whatnot. I did have this miraculous dream as we are kind of in that arena of Father's Day. You know, it's I'm not sure when the show is airing, but I know it's within a week or so of Father's Day. And because I kind of started talking about my father, one of the experiences, and I will submit that I talk in story. That's how I get. That's what my books are. They're short stories. It's not the experience starts here and it ends here, and it's got a plot in the middle and an ending. There, for me, there's no ending. I continue to get these dreams and I continue to write about them, but I'm given them in story form so that I can understand them and that I can grow from. It's basically a lesson, a parable or a metaphor, and that's what I write in my books. And so this experience was in a dream. I call it a dream experience. And I was holding this beautiful stationery, the most perfect writing on it, saying that that my father wanted to meet me and to be at this specific place at this specific time, and that I would get to see my father. And I mean, I hadn't seen him for 40 years at the time I'd had this dream, and that I had gotten this card. And I was elated. I ran, threw some things into my car and started driving. I was going to this destination that was many states away, and I didn't have a whole lot of time to get there. So I did hardly anything but stop for gas for a couple of days to arrive at this destination. And as I'd stop for gas, I would tell people, I'm going to meet my dad. This is, you know, awesome. And I, you know, people were like, yay, good for you. You know, they didn't understand how huge this was for me. And as I was driving down this kind of a dirt type road, gravelly type road in this Midwest town that this card had given me, I hadn't even put thought into it of what my expectations were in seeing him, and why was he not coming to me? Why was I driving several states away? And now I'm down this dirt road approaching these farmhouses, basically. And it's like, why would he choose such a weird destination to bring me to see him? And so, and I got there just about at the appropriate time on the card. And I took kind of a quick look at myself in the rearview mirror and, you know, checked my lipstick and realized that, you know, he hadn't seen me since I was 16 years old, you know,
right.
I'm approaching 60, you know, it's like, will he even recognize me? And, as I walked up this road, I saw this young man entering, in and out of his house throwing things in the back of an old pickup truck. And as I walked closer and closer to him, he had climbed, he was kind of ignoring me. He just climbed in the back of his truck, and he was, and as I approached the back of the truck to kind of ask him, you know, where's my dad? He was in an army uniform, and he was messing with his duffel bag in the back of the truck. And he looked up at me. He didn't say anything, but there was a telepathic message between the two of us, and he said, I'm your father. Now, I'm looking at this guy. He doesn't look anything like my dad. You know, my dad was had this jet black hair, combed back hair, you know, big brown eyes and big smile. And this guy had kind of a shaved head with light brown hair, and his teeth were kind of pointy. And he wasn't the handsome man that I remember as my father, right? So I'm looking at him going, you know, I've had some studying of reincarnation. And I was looking at him, looking for my dad within this young man, and I wasn't seeing it. And I didn't know what to do. I'd come so far, and here he was, and he wasn't really offering much else than just that. And I saw he was really busy, and I thought I probably should leave. You know, he was getting ready to go to another war is basically what he was doing. And I felt the need to thank him for his service and wish him well. But before I left, I touched the top of his head. He had kind of a receding hairline. And in that kind of the buzzed hair and this receding hairline, there was this tattoo. And it was really strange looking, kind of a triangle with this squiggly line through it. But I was really compelled to touch that tattoo. And when I did, it was this opening. And it makes me cry to this day, Jane, because it was like I was falling through layers and layers and layers of lifetimes with this man. This was a lifetime that I was not sharing with him, but I was being shown many that I had, many different placements of our personalities, you know, different genders and everything. We had played role after role together, and we were eternal. We were, you know, we had an eternal connection, and it was never to be lost, but it would be definitely be changed over all of these eons of time. And I saw those lives as I was kind of falling through them. I mean, it was just, it was amazing, like a layered cake that you're falling in the middle of, and this life is this, and this life is that. And there were so many of them. It's not that I could tell you, after I kind of went through those, it wasn't that I could tell you, you know, each and every one of those lives. It was very hard to grasp them because they were seconds long. But I recognized every single one of them, knowing that he was in there with me, that we were. And if you've read Michael Newton's books about reincarnation, you know, I really understood that we were part of a soul group, that we had an eternal connection that couldn't be broken. And so that's kind of a tribute that I wanted to give to our fathers and our people in our lives, that you know, we are eternally connected, and this isn't our only chance with each other.
Wow, that is an extraordinary story. And yeah, we are eternally connected, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Wow. So if you're listening, I just want to pop in. Claudia Edge is my guest today, author of We Touched Heaven. It's an international collection of experiences that have reached beyond the veil. She also has Gifts from the Edge and Gifts from the Edge Volume 2. I told you this would go fast. I'm like shocked that we're almost to the end of the show. I wanted to ask you a few questions. What for you is, I mean, I know you've had your experience, but what do you think or hope is in the next room for you?
Oh, wow. you know, I was sitting in an auditorium in Colorado Springs with a medium on stage. It was during one of the psychic fairs. And I, you know, she said, close your eyes and imagine yourself going, you know, to the other side. And what do you expect and whatnot? This is the first thing that came to me, Jane, was, and just as you asked the question, there's more that I want to say, but I did imagine this family barbecue with everybody I loved and knew, and we were all sitting together and laughing and enjoying the same kind of reunions and experiences here, where everyone is just so free to just enjoy and, you know, be themselves, and no worries about, you know, being tired or needing to leave for work or whatnot, that we were just there enjoying each other. And I just leaned over to my friend and just said, I actually saw that for just a moment, as we were asked to imagine that, and saw uncles and cousins and people that I just expect to have that, the expectation and excitement of another new person after I'm gone welcoming, you know. I know that this world is temporary, and I know that we will go on to have other experiences in reincarnation, but I'm really looking forward to just being with the people that I love again.
I love that. A family barbecue reunion.
Yeah.
That is perfect. So tell me a little bit about We Touched Heaven.
Well, all of my books kind of came to me in the bathtub. You know, I put in some bubble bath and that warm water and just let my mind go. And I get these, you know, promptings. And my first two books, Gifts from the Edge, are, you know, of my experiences, these type of stories. It's filled with stories just like the one I told. I could have gone on for another hour. I love it to share these. And so you will find those types of stories from Gifts from the Edge. The first one is Stories of the Other Side. The second, the volume two, is Lessons from the Other Side, where I started dreaming of being in a spirit school and actually getting lessons.
Very cool.
Being able to bring them back and wake up and write them down. It was some really cool further teaching that I think that happens on the other side. I don't think we ever stop our quest for knowledge, even on the other side. I think we attend many different schools and live through experiences on the other side. What came to me for this third book, and I had no intention of writing the first one, and there's a lot of opposition in my household for my devoting the time to write a book and the expense of and everything else that goes into writing a book. And I thought I was done with the first two, but it came to me that I was, it's like, now let's start sharing other people's experiences. And for me, the authors, someone putting themselves out there in a book, you know, you're exposing yourself, you're exposing your heart. And that's really, to me, that's a rock star. You know, that is somebody who's just out there putting their feelings on paper forever and ever, you know. Mm-hmm. Once you're out there, you're out there.
Right.
And so I have treated all of the books that I've read and loved the authors, I've contacted them. If there's any way of having lunch with them or meeting up after a meeting or, you know, some one of their talks or something, without appearing stalker like, it's just, I've read your book, I love your book, would you mind signing your book or whatnot? And I have an entire library of those because I've been doing this for so long. And it's like, wait a minute, you know, I've met a lot of really wonderful people over these years. These are the people that I want to get stories from. And, you know, everybody's got a great story.
Sure.
And if you haven't had one yet, be prepared, because you will.
There you go. Well, Claudia, yeah. I'm just so grateful that you would take the time to tell me about your story, your NDE, and your connection to your dad. just really wonderful. Claudia Edge, my guest today. I will put the links to all the books that she mentioned, Gifts from the Edge, Gifts from the Edge Volume 2, and We Touched Heaven. All will be in the body of the show page. Thank you so much, Claudia, and I will send you a copy of my book when it comes out because I think you're going to enjoy it very much.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I sure appreciate it.
Join Jane again next week for The Next Room on Empower Radio as she examines the beliefs, traditions, and personal evidence of connection with those who have moved on to the next room.